Yes, please do. It's been a difficult week. If you are an educator in Surrey County, it was a hard week. Eliza asked prayer for the Sheldon Wright family, and he was the little boy, the little 9-year-old that died this past weekend. And he was mine for a little while. And he was precious and he was beautiful. And I heard somebody say this week, heaven gained an angel. And I said, no, it's better. Better than an angel. Amen. Better. Amen. And my heart's broke. And his mama's heart is broke. But his sister, who was driving that car, loved him very, very much. And she's just a baby. She's just 15. And she needs our prayers so much. Sheldon's fine. He's fine. She's not. And she won't ever be fine again. And she needs our prayers.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep. On a cold winter's night that was so deep, they looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far. And to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, who hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind he bought. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
Appreciate that, Melissa. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Luke chapter 2. But the first piece of scripture I want to read to you is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Yeah, we read it last week, but this is one of our key verses again for this Christmas story for this week. And I'd like to take this time to thank everyone for all that you've done for us for this Christmas, all the cards and presents that you've given to me and Sandra. We do appreciate it greatly, and thank you for your love and for your generosity, for your prayers concerning us and being a pastor and pastor's wife and making it an easier job because you're willing to serve God and willing to serve the church and do the things that God would require of each one of us as His children to do. And it makes it a blessing to be able to be your under-shepherd here, letting God lead us and guide us and letting Him organize and carry out the things that He needs to in our life that we can be servants to Him. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We're thankful that it was prophesied, as we talked about before, and the four major prophets, the 12 minor prophets, that talked about a Savior that was coming one day. As Isaiah spoke in chapter 9 about Jesus coming, He'd be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. I'm thankful today that we do have a Mighty God. Many people this time of year want to see Jesus as a baby in a manger, but He's no longer a baby in a manger. He carried out that job that He was here to do. He grew and He prospered, and He became what God wanted Him to be, a messenger into the world, the Word that walked among men, that took on the flesh and walked here, that we would have the example to follow today. And it's not the examples that we're seeing out here today. We see today that many people are talking, especially right now, that guns are causing all the problems, and that this is causing this problem, that's causing that problem. Let's just call it what it really is. It's called disobedience. It's called evil in the world. It's called sin. It's what's causing the problems that we're having, and there's a personal responsibility, but we've thrown that out the window. Let's blame someone else for what's happening today. But you never hear them blaming the alcohol companies for the deaths that occur on the highway because people are celebrating and they're out drinking, getting drunk and trying to drive. You don't hear them blaming those and coming down on those and saying we need more stricter alcohol control. No, we're not going to hear that because that's part of the evil that is out there that is taking over the world today. But let me tell you, there was a light that came and the world comprehended it not because they are in darkness and they don't see the light for who He truly is. There's always someone else to blame for the state that we are in. We see them blaming everybody on every hand and nobody taking responsibility for where it truly is, for why things are the way they are. Well, Pastor, I don't know why my kids have turned out the way they do. I never whipped them. I never corrected them. I gave them everything they wanted. I let them run with everybody they wanted to. I never told them no, but I don't understand why they're doing the things they're doing today. You can't just let a child go out here wild. It's just like if you take a wild animal and you don't work with it and you don't try to train it. It don't never know what to do the way that it needs to be done. Same way with a child. Jesus' parents didn't just let Him go out there even though they knew He was the Son of God, that this was a whole different birth than it had ever happened before. But you don't think that they instructed Him as He was growing till He got to the age whenever He was just like any other kid as He grew. He was a perfect child, but they taught Him, they instructed Him. He worked with His father Joseph there in the carpentry trade and all these other things. He was trained. He wouldn't just let go because He was the Son of God. He had parents that loved Him, that nurtured Him, that guided Him here. He had a heavenly Father who was guiding Him spiritually. Yes, He was a perfect child. Yes, He was a perfect person, but He still needed training. When we become saved, we need training. The best place to get it's in God's house through the Word of God. And reading and studying the Word of God and letting it become part of us. Knowing that the Old Testament talks of the New Testament. And that and being able to understand the New Testament, we have to understand the Old Testament and have them together for one to be the key to the other to be able to understand the prophecies and things. When they was talking about Christ who is coming, the Son that was going to be born, the child who was given to us, and a son that was given to us. His name is Jesus. Thank God he came many years ago there in Bethlehem, just as it was prophesied that he would come from that place, and that he would come from a lowly estate there, and come as they saw as nothing. But I thank God that he was so much more than nothing. He was the Son of God that took on the flesh and blood of man to know each one of our failures that we would go through in this flesh. And that his government there would be no end. That would only increase. And the day is coming when we need to turn even more and more over to him instead of taking more and more away from him. He needs to be the one in control. Luke chapter 2, and beginning in the first verse, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Boy, we hear a lot about that right now, wanting to tax, tax, tax. We got to have this thing going on, so before we go over the physical cliff and over this and over that, and we got to raise taxes to do this, let's cut out some of the loopholes, let's cut out some of the spending, let's cut out some of the waste on some of this junk that's going on across America today. Let's get back to God first, and then all this other stuff will be taken care of. We won't have to worry about all these other things, but we need to get back to God, just as Joseph and Mary was being obedient and going back to the land where their inheritance was from, where they were born and raised, that they had to go back for this taxing. Let's get back to where ours come from, a gift from God given to us called America, that we was able to come and worship Him and follow Him in the ways that we are led by His Spirit, by His Word, and let's get back to God. That would be one of the greatest Christmas presents for America that we could have today. It's not another video game and all these other things, and we want to blame everything else for what's going on. Well, how does a person know how to go out here and load a gun like they've got and do all these things? You can go watch a video game and you can learn all this stuff. When it's so realistic that you have to put the clips in the guns on the games and you have to rack the action and you have to aim them and things, you don't have to have one in your hand to learn how to do it anymore. You can go to that and it's so close that it's lifelike. And people are doing these things, but we don't blame where it needs to go. Oh, it's somebody else's fault. It's somebody else's fault. We got to get back to God. We've left Him. Now we see now that they were going back to be taxed here. Mary and Joseph, according to as it was stated, where He would be born from, that God made a way that the prophecy be fulfilled, just as it was prophesied many years before Christ was ever here. Some of it over 800 years before Christ ever appeared on the scene about His birth. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. The same reference was just made a few moments ago in Isaiah 9 and 6 when he was talking about his government and about him being upon the throne of David, because he was of the house and lineage of David. It wasn't just by coincidence that this happened. It wasn't by coincidence that Mary and Joseph was chosen to be his parents. It wasn't just by coincidence that it took place in Bethlehem, because it was prophesied that that's what God's plan was, that we were told many years before it happened what would take place, when it and what would happen. We didn't know exactly the day. It's just as his second coming or his rapture of the church, we know not the day or the hour that it's coming. But I could tell you there wasn't an apocalypse going to happen on Friday, because I was still here on earth. And let me tell you, before the apocalypse takes place, those Christians that are saved and ready to go, that are prepared, won't be here. And there'll be a 7-year period after we are gone before it takes place. So mark her down. Every time you hear somebody say, devastation's a coming, let me tell you, it won't be like they're talking about on the global aspect that we see things happening. There may be little individual disasters take place, but let me tell you, God's trying to get our attention. We're burning up in one place. We're we're floating and flooding in another. We've got snow in another. We got awful heat in another. Let me tell you, God's trying to wake us up and say, look, I can just put it out of kilter a little bit and look how things can change. But God's got His hand on it and He can get it back into control, that it would be what we need for our lives to grow and for us to be prosperous for God, for us to be able to produce the food that we need. But we're going to have to get back in touch with God and get back to the one that's on the throne of David this morning. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let me tell you, we see here the first Christmas gift of Christmas. We see the package, Jesus, as He's coming forth there, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Reminds us of the packages that we have now. Some spend a lot of time now. I don't spend a lot of time wrapping, because they're just going to tear it up anyway. So if I can get it in a bag sometimes and put some of that pretty tissue paper on top of it, boy, that's close enough for me. And sometimes it ain't even that much. I got some brown paper. I use craft paper in there in the shop quite a bit. I can wrap with that. Boy, it don't cost as much as that pretty bows and stuff and all that stuff. Some people spend a lot of time, and it's got perfect corners. And Mama, she loves Scotch tape. I know that. She loves that Scotch tape, boy. I tell you, she keeps them in Scotch tape, and she's hiding her face now. But whenever you get to wrapping off, that's just part of the work. That's the easy part. It's getting through all the tape on the rest of the box. But I love her. She used to wrap my bananas in handy wrap when she put them in the lunchbox. I don't know if she remembers that. I remember that. I thought, it already got a wrapper. But anyway, people love that wrapping. And they'll wrap it and they'll put bows and stuff on it, you know. And they spend a lot of time on that, on the outside and what it looks like. Oh, okay. Well, everything still tasted like a nanner after you got it. I don't know what a banana is. That's a nanner. But anyway. All right, you derailed me there for a second on that one. But the wrapping paper, it's on the gift. We see Jesus, He was wrapped simply in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes was something that the mother used to prove her love for the baby. As she wrapped Him in those tight garments, it was something for Him to struggle against, that it helped build up His body, that gave Him strength. It was to protect Him and keep Him safe, to make Him feel warm and make Him feel loved and make Him feel secure. Let me tell you, Jesus wraps us up in His swaddling clothes and wraps us up in His arms of love, that He shows us that concern, that He shows us that love, that He shows us that we're secure. Can you see Jesus this morning wrapping you in your swaddling clothes, that you may have those times of struggle that you go through? It's to make you stronger, that you feel that security of His arms as it wraps around you, the same security that He felt from His mother being there as He was there in the manger. Did He cry or was he quiet? I don't know. He was a baby. He was like any other baby. He knew when it was time to be fed and He got hungry. He knew when it was times that He wanted to be picked up. He knew that it was times when He needed to feel love. And I'm glad that His mother was there to do those things for Him. But I'm glad His Heavenly Father provided even further beyond than what His parents here on earth could do, that He gave Him the power over death and hell, even in that little body, that He had all the power of the universe there. But we see there as He came in such a lowly state there, laid in a manger there to feed the animals in, that's where our Savior laid. But He was wrapped and cared for in those swaddling clothes because she showed His love. Today He wants to take America and wrap us up in those same swaddling clothes this morning, that we can feel security, that we can have our struggles, but that we can come through stronger. But we don't need to do it with arrogance, as we talked about last week. We need to rebuild with a humble heart. We need to replace those things which get destroyed, not with bigger or better, but just replace them with what is adequate for the time, and give God the glory for the things, and not take it upon ourselves that we're going to bring blessing, but that God will bring the blessing if we'll allow Him to work through our lives. But she laid Him there wrapped in the swaddling clothes and laid Him in the manger because there was no room for Him in the inn. Today there's still not room for Jesus in people's hearts. We're still not letting Him in to the full aspect of our life. Today, America is not making room for Jesus, as the song is, while we were sleeping. Let me tell you, we've slept and we don't have room for Jesus today in our hearts. There's no room in the inn for Jesus today in many places. And I tell you what, in many churches today, they've booted Jesus on the outside. They've brought the program in. They are upholding the preacher and putting him high on a pedestal, but they're not serving God. God's the one that needs to be served. God's the one that has the name that is worthy of praise, not the pastor standing behind the bookboard. It's all about God, Him first and Him only this morning, and His Son Jesus. But there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping their watch over their flock by night. Let me tell you today, shepherds are not keeping their watch over their flock by night or day anymore. They're just left to wander and roam and do the best they can from Sunday to Sunday with no concern from many pastors across the land and country, because as they was mentioning there, the large congregation, the numbers get so big they just become numbers, and they don't think of individual souls. They don't think of individual people with individual needs. Let me tell you, I want to be there for you any time that I can, every time that I can. You got to let me know if you need me, because I don't have ESP and I can't just know when something's going on, but I'll be there for you if I can. I'll pray for you if I know, but I want to be there for you, and I want you to be there for me as children of God, that we work together. Don't just lay the burden on one person. Let's all bear each other's burdens and do what God has asked us to do, as Jesus came to bear the burden of the world on His shoulders. But these shepherds were out keeping the watch over their flock by night. It's our responsibility, church leaders, to watch over the flock of God. It's our responsibility to make sure that they're hearing the Word of God. It's our responsibility to be sure we teach the Word of God and to be there to help encourage, to help strengthen those that are not as strong in the Word of God or in faith, to be there for them, to be a steadfast point that they can look to and say, that's what a Christian is supposed to be by the Word of God. They're living the example that God has given us. Now let me tell you, sometimes we'll fail you, but let me tell you, God gives us the example, and I'm sorry for the times that I've failed, but I thank God I'm not perfect yet. I'm just forgiven. I want to strive to do that that's perfect in God's eyes, but we have to keep striving, and we have to be watchful, and we have to pray, and we have to believe in Jesus and what His work is and what the finished work of Christ is and means for the rest of the world. That is just as important today that someone gets saved as it was when you got saved. And it's still important for someone else to come to know Him as your Savior. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Let me tell you today, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid, because there is good tidings still. Jesus is still in control. God is still on the throne. His authority still overlaps everything else and outvetoes everyone else's power. God is still the God of the universe. God is still the God of this world. God is still God, and nothing has changed. But we need to get back to this God that I'm talking about this morning. We need to follow Him even closer, as 2012 is ushered out in just a few more days and 2013 begins. It's time we get closer to God than we've ever been before. The day or the hour, I got a text the other morning about that we didn't leave here on the Friday morning. The world was still going on, but it didn't come up. It said, could be tomorrow. That's exactly right. It could be today. Could be tomorrow that the church is gone, and then there's going to be a time on this earth like you've never seen before, and it's not going to be pleasant. We think we've had tough times, but let me tell you, it's nothing compared to what's in the book of Revelation, and that book's just as important as the book of John. It tells us about Nicodemus, and when he come to Jesus and found out he had to be born again. Let me tell you, that book is real. It's alive today. It's prophecy that's been fulfilled before our eyes. We're right in between those church ages. We're right there at the end when the Laodicean church and the Philadelphian church age, right where we're leaving our brotherly love, right where we're coming to the point when we're going to end up in the Laodicean church age, where we're not hot nor cold, we're just going through the motions, and we don't have an idea of what serving God is about anymore. We're right there on the threshold. And let me tell you, what's going to change is some people getting humble hearts and coming back to God, going back to the Christmas story and not the Walmart circular that's coming out for Black Friday, or camping out down at Best Buy to to get the new computer and all these other gadgets that we see. Let me tell you, we need to get back to God and be standing in line. I'd have loved it this morning if I'd have got to church and some people camped out on the step waiting to get into the house of God to hear the word. But no, we'll go out and freeze to get that sale. I got something to give you. His name's Jesus, and He loves you. He wants to save you from hell, and He won't cost you anything. You won't have to worry about taking it back because it don't fit right. You won't have to worry about the batteries. You won't have to worry about whether it's going to be out of date in just a few weeks. I know I said batteries, not batteries. But you won't have to worry about them. Jesus loves you. And He died for you that you could be saved. He came in a very humble way because they were looking for a great ruler. There's a double prophecy that parallels one another that's in the Old Testament it talks about. The first part of the prophecy talks about Jesus coming and being born as a babe to be raised among men. The second part of the prophecy is His second coming. That's when He's going to return and all eyes are going to see Him. All tongues will confess that He is God, but it's going to be too late. He will come back in majesty and power, but it's going to be too late. But the Jewish people saw that one, and that's one they wanted, the king, the mighty ruler. They didn't want the humble servant coming to die for all mankind. And they still reject Him today. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Today in America, we're sore afraid. We've become so politically correct that we're letting people go to hell in a handbasket because we're afraid of offending someone to say they're lost. Or to say that Jesus loves you. Or to say Merry Christmas. I have determined that whenever I go somewhere shopping, and people have got enough gumption about them to say Merry Christmas, I'll go back there. If they say Happy Holidays, more than likely they're going to get marked off the list. Because it is Christmas. It is Christ's birth that we're celebrating. It should be a holy day, not just a holiday. Not just a reason to be off work. I mean, they don't even call a Christmas tree now. It's a holiday tree. If we're not afraid, I don't know who people are that are. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Not some people, but to all people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Today we see so many that goodwill in our hearts have left. We've been through so many things and we have got so hard-hearted that many times our goodwill goes out the window. We're not willing to spend a little time. We're not willing, sometimes maybe even to be taken a little advantage of because our guard is up so much that we won't let someone in. We won't even let Christ in to use us as Christians. But we need to be singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The greatest news that had ever been given anyone, the Savior is here. And how to find Him? And they went. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And I want to challenge you, church, with this verse of Scripture. You have seen. You've been taught. You've been showed the Savior. But I challenge you to go abroad and make it known unto the world. I know many of you tell others about Him. But there's still others that get by. I fail, you fail. We all fail some point in time of telling the story. But I challenge you to be even more observant. Those that are lost, let's share with them. Don't laugh at the little funny cartoons or what the world would call funny when they're making fun of the nativity, when they're making fun of Jesus' birth, when they're cracking jokes about what something that should be holy that they're making a mockery of. Let's proclaim it and go make known the saying. Go tell the world that He once was in a manger, but now He's ascended back to the Father. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. Verse 18, and all that they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds, returning, glorified and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told as it was told unto them. We go through and we see where they take Jesus now after the 8 days, as the custom was to take Him to the temple and for the sacrifice that was to be made for a babe to be born. And we see that as we go in on over, as they went and took Him to the temple, there was ones there that was told that He would not die until He saw the Savior. And as He saw Him, He knew that this was the Savior of the world. God spoke to Him and let Him know that this was Him who had been prophesied, whom Him had been told about that was coming. And I want to go over to verse 32 because I read something that was spoken of that this priest there that day as he spoke that just touched my heart that I hadn't really ever noticed before in verse 32. Knowing that Jesus came, knowing that He made a way because of the rejection of the Jews. But in verse 32 it says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Before the rejection even of His people, before the death on the cross of Calvary, before they turned their back on Him, the priest here prophesied a light to lighten the Gentiles. I'm glad today that we have a light. His name is Jesus. I'm glad we have a source of a light that should shine through us, because if He lives in us and yet He's so big that we can't contain Him, that He should shine through and people would be able to see the light of Christ in our life. If they cannot, now is the time to come to Jesus and ask Him to turn your light up that people can see the light of Christ in your life. Don't let the things of this world hinder you that your light would be snuffed down till they can't see. Don't let it be polluted. Don't let it be contaminated by the things of the world till your globe is dark and dingy and your light not shining. It may just barely be flickering, but thank God it's still flickering and He can turn it up to where it is a bright flame once again. But you have to come back to the source that the light can shine in your life, the light of Christ. But it's your choice. It's your responsibility. We're not to blame God if our light's not shining like it ought to. We're the ones to blame if it's not. He's the one to be praised because it still is. But this morning, look deep inside. As we come to celebrate Christmas, as we've read part of the Christmas story this morning, look inside your heart. How is your light shining? Jesus was a light to lighten the Gentiles, to show us the way. He's shining this morning in your life, but how bright is it shining? How bright will you let Christ work in your life? Will you give Him all of yourself or part of yourself? It's not a 50-50 deal. He wants us completely. Completely this morning. So let's give to Christ completely. As Tuesday we celebrate His birth. As we have a birthday for Jesus. we reap the benefits. Because of His birth, I live. Because of His death at Calvary, He gave me life. Because of His birth, He could pay our sin debt and be our near kinsman to be able to buy us out of bondage. But are you hindering His light today? Will you let the Christmas light shine? People are searching. People are looking. Will you shine that they might see? As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. This morning, I'm not going to just ask you to raise your hand if you're lost. I just want you to step out and come. I want this to be the greatest Christmas that you could ever have. But friend, it's going to take meeting Jesus to have that. You may have worldly goods. You may have money in abundance. You may have all that you think that you need. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. He loves you this morning and wants to give you something freely from Himself, of Himself, His blood to cover your sins. But you have to receive it. It's just like if I give you a Christmas present and I hold it out. If you don't reach out and take it and receive it, you can't obtain it. And Christ is standing with outstretched arms this morning, asking you to come. Surrender yourself to Him. Obtain that present that Christ has for you this morning. Salvation. Will you come? Just step out. If someone's beside you, they'll come with you. Just take them by the hand. Just take them by the hand. They'll step out and come with you. If they're in your way, just say, "Excuse me." They'll step back. Please come. Please come. Just surrender. Just surrender. Christian, maybe you're here and we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas. The shopping days, the days of decorating the tree in the house, and all the things that go along with it this time of year, trying to trim the things and make it beautiful for people to look at, but we neglect our own house, the temple of God. Will you come this morning and get back to the light source that your light may shine? And it may shine during this time of Christmas that the lost and dying world cannot help but see what being a Christian is about. To see what Christmas truly is. Not just a commercialized event, but it is the birthday of our Savior. Will you come? Maybe you've got another need this morning I'm not spoke of. You step out and bring it to the altar. A prayer of thanks. A prayer of sorrow. A prayer of encouragement. A prayer of need. Whatever it might be, come to Jesus. He has a vast supply. Will you come? We'll have her play one more verse of song. Then we're going to pray. Will you slip out and come? If you can't kneel on the altar, you can sit on the front pew. Please come. May be seated. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne of grace and mercy, dear Lord, just thanking You for this day, thanking You for the precious story about Your birth, that You came in such a low estate to rise to such heavenly places that we can only imagine. And God, as the story came to the shepherds and as they saw with their own eyes, as they bore witness there from the testimony that was given to them by the angels, as they went and saw it for themselves, near God, and went and noised it abroad that you were here. We thank you for that time. Dear God, we thank you that you grew, that you walked among men, that you took on our sins, our responsibility that should have been given to us, our death that should have been rightly ours, separated from you eternally because of sin, but that you took it and made a difference, that you made all things new. And God, I pray that people will see during this Christmas season, this holy day, that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, that we don't let it just slowly fade away and just become a holiday. God, that there will still be a remnant that will stand up and say that it's God's day, that it's Jesus' day, that it's His birthday. And God, help our lights to ever shine brighter and brighter in this world of darkness. As things seem to be getting darker all around, dear God, let your children so shine, dear God, that it will push away the darkness and that it will shine to those that are in darkness, that they may come to the light of Christ. God, we thank you for these that have come this morning, bowed in your altar, whatever their petition is, Lord, that you answer according to your will. That those that are praying in the pews, Lord, that you'll answer their prayers according to your will. And God, we thank you for allowing us once again to meet in your house just before our Savior's birth to worship and praise Him. That He's not there any longer, but He's there with you waiting on the Word to come and get us, the bride, for the bridegroom. And God, we thank you for that day that when it comes. And God, I pray for all those that were confused, those this morning that are still disappointed that the doomsday predictions were not correct. God, that they may find you the answer to the problems of the universe. Dear God, that they would humble their heart and turn into the Word of God, and that you may be able to break their stony heart and plant your love inside. Go with us, lead us, and guide us, Lord. We pray that you be with us in the funeral this afternoon. Be with the family of the carpenters, Lord, and with their mother passing right here at Christmas. And all the others, dear Heavenly Father, that we think about that will be without their loved one this year at Christmas for the first time. God, we pray that you will be with them, comfort their hearts, let them know that their loved one, if they were saved, that they're having one of the greatest Christmases they've ever known. God, comfort their hearts and wrap your arms of love as swaddling arms of love around them that they can feel security. And Lord, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.